Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Rob, let's talk pets. You have a pet.
I have a cat that thinks he's a dog, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you, okay, so what does your cat do?
Fetch, I don't have to walk him, right? So that's the good thing.
That's because you're lazy. Because you're lazy. I'm kidding.
he gives good joy, right? It's never an empty house, I would say that. Hmm. And so do you.
So yeah, I have a pet. So I have two dogs. One is a cute little Habanese. One I call a horse because Nacho is huge. But you're right. The companionship that we have, they're the only ones who greet me when I come in the door. Mm-hmm. The only ones that want to sit around me when I'm watching TV. It's so cute because nobody else in the family wants to be around me, I guess, apparently. But this has been an interesting trend. When we look at what's happened through pandemic, when we look as people are aging, social connection is an important piece. Big. And we've always talked about social connection with other human beings. But what about non-humans? Mm-hmm. This is the interesting part. And let's talk to an expert about this. We've got Anne Tuohy, PhD, Manager, Research and Scientific Programs at the University of Calgary, Brenda Strafford, Center of Aging. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. It's lovely to be here.
So Rob has a cat that thinks like he's a dog. I have a couple of dogs that just hang around me during TV. The companionship is there. We don't really talk about it this much on the show, but let's address it now. As people are aging, how important is pet companionship?
Well, it's a great question. And we see that it is often of growing importance because, as you can understand, as people grow older, some of the traditional roles that they've played throughout their lives, whether it's as parent or in the workforce, especially as you shift post-retirement, some of those roles start to fall by the wayside. And for those people who have an affinity for pets and companion animals, because certainly that's not everybody, but a pretty high percentage of us all do love our furry companions. And, you know, there's more time. That's, you know, kind of one of the natural things that happens. There's a little bit more time to dedicate to that relationship. As you both mentioned, there's a level of companionship that can be really rewarding. And another thing that happens as some of our kind of natural routines fall by the wayside, just some of the things that we all do to take good care of our pets become more and more important for just having people have a sense of continuity and meaning and, you know, just feeling like there's still something in your life that, that's just both rewarding and, you know, keeps you going. If you're a dog person, it keeps you out walking. It keeps you meeting people in the neighborhood. If you're a cat person, well, you're, you know, caring for your cat, cleaning the litter box, maybe taking your cat for a walk, which clearly Rob doesn't do.
Bad Rob.
It's a growing trend and a conversation that we're having, and pets come into our conversations with even in wealth management of writing them into wills and budgets because they can become, you know, important.
They're part of the family.
They're more important. Yeah, right. And as empty nesters happen, right? So what inspired you to look into animal companionship and seniors specifically in your research?
Yeah, well, some of it's just personal because I'm one of those folks who returned to academia midlife. I'd already had a few years of career, but I'd always been drawn to older adults and my interest in, you know, being part of the efforts to just raise our respect for older adults, ensure that, you know, we continue to offer opportunities for social inclusion, you know, considering what life is like for all of us as we pass the age of retirement. And so I had a natural interest in getting involved with, you know, promoting health and well-being for people as they age. And then there was just a natural fit. Part of it was a mentor who I met early in my studies, Dr. Melanie Rock, who's been a real leader in this area of looking at public health at the intersection of people and their pets. But it was just such a natural fit for me with my interest in older adults. And again, kind of understanding that as we grow older, this human-animal relationship can just be so fundamental to quality of life. And as I've already mentioned, it can keep people out and exercising. It gives them a meaningful occupation. It gives them important companionship and joy. Let's face it, there are reasons why we all have pets. you know, they bring so much into our lives. And so ensuring that there are opportunities in place so that we can continue to have these relationships in ways that benefit us, but also that, you know, ensure that our the companion animals are still, you know, leading a quality of life and, you know, having kind of their animal welfare attended to. Those were all some of the things that really interested me about this area of study and things that aren't often considered as we think about an aging population.
And I have the opportunity and privilege to meet with so many interesting individuals. Sometimes I get to have dinner with them and so forth. And a year and a half, no, let's go 2 years ago, right before the pandemic, I had dinner with a pharmacist and a veterinarian at the exact same time. We're at the same table. And it was interesting that the pharmacist and the vet were talking about how human beings will make sure that their pets complete their medication, but human beings do not complete their own medication. It was interesting. And so the relationship with their pet is somewhat probably more of a personal relationship than they have with their own cells and their own health. It's very interesting. When you look at how people maintain relationships with their pet as they're aging, some of the concerns are about, you know, they're not taking care of themselves, they're taking care of their pet. But how do people continue to maintain those relationships as they go through the aging process?
Yeah, well, I'm really glad you bring this up because it is a concerning trend that we see. Often people feel such responsibility for the well-being of a companion animal. It's not unlike the responsibility that we take, you know, for a child or if we're caregiving. There's something about that sense of responsibility for someone else's well-being. And that can be very motivational. And it gets quite complicated with older adults because, again, sometimes there's just such a strong sense of attachment that we, unfortunately, we do see scenarios where older people will, sometimes sacrifice their own healthcare needs to ensure that they're able to maintain these important relationships with their pets. And, you know, whether it's putting off cataract surgery or something like that, because, you know, a person, an older person, especially if they're living on their own and maybe don't have, you know, support of family and friends with their pets, if they are worried that they might end up in the hospital for a period of time and have nobody to look for their pet, or if they're worried that they might have a lengthy rehabilitation from, you know, some sort of medical process, they, you know, it's not at all unusual in these circumstances for people to be prioritizing the well-being of their pet and thus putting off some of their own needs. And so, you know, that's where I'm a real advocate for different ways that we can try to support older adults, whether it's, you know, there's a really, really inspirational program that is offered by the Calgary Seniors Resource Society called Pet Assist, where volunteers will come in and assist older adults, whether it's a temporary thing such as, you know, perhaps they've broken a leg and they need help walking their dog, or sometimes when it's, you know, something more ongoing, like assisting with ensuring that the pet, you know, is properly medicated, or, you know, again, when the older adult themselves are in need, ensuring that the pet's care is, you know, is considered. Those are just a couple of things that come to mind from the work that I've done so far.
We need Pet Assist to help Rob walk his cat as well, too. So we have got less than 30 seconds before we have to go. Quickly, in your opinion, top three pets to have as you're aging.
Oh, boy. Dog is good as long as, you know, mobility is there. Cats are amazing companions. And what would number three be? Certainly, rabbits are very interesting pets. They are, you know, small. They can be quite affectionate. They can be litter box trained. I guess those would be three. Can I add birds?
Please do. Excellent. Excellent. There you go. The top four, as well as some great information from Anne Toohey, PhD Manager, Research and Scientific Programs from the University of Calgary, Brenda Strafford Center of Aging. Anne, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, and enjoy your own pets.
We have a seminar coming up talking about some important topics on how do you make sure that you can have the lifestyle you want, the experiences you want in retirement. When do we have that coming up?
It's coming up Tuesday, August 16th, 7 p.m. This will be live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Remember, you can access past segments on our morethanmoneyradio.com website or just go to your most favorite podcast app, Apple, or any other ones to find us as well. Thank you for joining us on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.